It's Friday Eve. It was Valentine's Day Eve. Now it's Friday.
Now it's Friday Eve.
Hey, I say that on News Radio 720.
Felicia, you, I believe, coined the phrase Friday Eve. I believe that phrase is attributed to you, is it not?
Yes, and in the summertime, if we ever get that again.
Yes.
When I wear sleeveless blouses,
yep.
I say I have the right to bear arms.
Yes, that's a good time. Didn't you also invent Summer's Eve? I believe that was your invention, was it not?
That was Pat Cassidy.
Oh, Pat Cassidy invented Summer's Eve.
The breakfast lover.
The breakfast lover?
That's what he says all the time.
Oh, because he loves breakfast.
Yes.
He
doesn't
reading,
have Summer's Eve for breakfast.
I was reading way too much into that. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Laff. It's Wendy Snyder. Felicia Middlebrook standing by just in case we need her with news headlines throughout the
show. Always at the ready, Bill.
I made it a point, because we've talked about this, that we never give the phone number out for some reason. We always forget, and I don't have it in front of me today. I had it yesterday and the day before, but today I don't.
It's on the schedule.
Is it?
And it's on the phone. I've told you this. 312, look at the phone screener. You put 312 in front of those numbers, the screen.
All right.
Go ahead. Come on.
312.
Yeah.
235.
Yeah.
2525. That gets you in. 312-235-2525. You can call us there, and we would love to hear from you at any point during this hour, during the bonus hour.
Tomorrow on the show on 720, we're going to be talking to White Sox announcer. Ed Farmer.
Yes. Farmio. Farmio, Wendy.
Billio.
Yeah, that's my name is Billio. I am a big fan of the work of Ed Farmer. I think he does a nice job.
I love him. Yeah. I really do. It's easy to listen to baseball games. DJ, Darren Jackson, is his cohort. And they're okay together. I will say that. I like Darren Jackson on the radio better than I liked him on TV. I'll be honest with you.
All right.
But I love Ed Farmer.
Yeah, he was scheduled to be our guest at the beginning of the show today. However, because of the incidents yesterday in Florida, we instead carried the president's news conference. Ed Farmer, very accommodating, certainly understood. He will be on with us at the beginning of the show at 10:05 tomorrow. Listen in. We would love to have you do that.
Because we do have the White Sox now, and as we mentioned yesterday with Judy Pylak, I think this is a great fit because the White Sox need to be shown a little love in this city.
I think you're right. I do think you're right.
We're the station to do it.
Right. You know what's weird is both you and I have a propensity to just mention people from the past. We'll just throw out a name from somebody from 35 or 40 years ago. And over the last 24 hours, I can't tell you how many people, including our own Todd Manley, one of our bosses, said, I hope you guys have Stan Bonson on one time soon. He was a pitcher in the 70s, and there's no reason in the world to have him on, but I'd be open to it. If Stan Bonson wants to come on, he's got an open invite from us.
This is where you shine. Can I just say this? Because you're very good at pulling out names from 30, 40, 60 years ago in the celebrity world. Add that to the baseball world,
yeah.
Especially White Sox.
Right.
You're in heaven now, aren't you?
Well, I would like to do a segment where Wayne Nordhagen comes on
once
a week and just answers questions about not necessarily baseball, but anything.
That's what I
People want to hear from Wayne Nordhagen. If Harry Chappas is listening, please, Harry, give us a call. We'd love to have you on.
Harry Chappas.
Harry Chappas. He doesn't have a. What are you giving him?
That's a horrible idea. I don't know. He needs some Desitin.
Do you remember Harry Chappas?
No.
He was a diminutive baseball player. Very small man.
I know what diminutive
means.
Thank you. I look at you blankly or something?
Boy, did he pack a wallop. Anytime you needed somebody.
You took his wallet.
No, I didn't take his wallet. I said he packed a wallop.
Isn't it today the toast to Harry? I'm kind of honoring him because he was. It's the worst Harry Carey ever.
Today is a. Yeah.
Hello again, everybody.
That's not bad.
Because he was with the White Sox,
yes.
You know.
He was with the White Sox and with the Cubs.
Yep.
Yep. And with the St. Louis Cardinals and with the Oakland Athletics.
There you go.
All
Bill
at the
Leff.
Same time.
All sports, all the time.
The only guy calling baseball for four major league teams at the same exact time. No one knows how he did it.
No one else could have done it.
No one could have done it. Had an interesting time in St. Louis. Google it. I'm not here to tell tales out of school, as the kids like to say, Wendy. I won't do it.
Although yesterday you asked me who my favorite White Sox was, and is it White Sox or is it White Sox player?
We have to find that out, because now that we're the home of the White Sox, plural, it's going to come up every day. So if there's one guy who's a member of that team Do you say, hey, look, it's a White Sox? Or do you say a White Sox?
White Sox player, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we could ask Adam Hoge that.
All right.
Because he probably would know. I heard you say White Sox. I have in the past said White Sox, but it doesn't sound good to me.
I vacillate. I go back and
forth. Yeah, I have heard you say both.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me who my favorite White Sox player was, and I probably lied to you. I just said Carlton Fisk because I piled on, because that's who everybody says, really.
Everybody's been mentioning him, yes.
I liked the 2005 team where there were a lot of characters. Joe Creedy especially.
Yeah,
I loved him. A.J. Pierzynski, Aaron Rowan.
Yes.
I liked Nick Swisher for the short time that he was with the White Sox.
He was not here long.
No.
He was all right.
But these were characters, you know? Like, the Cubs have characters.
Right.
And we haven't had a lot of characters since that 2005 team. Would you agree?
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Paul Konerko was still playing, and he was not really a character. He was a wonderful player, and I loved him.
Uh-huh.
But not like a goofy kind of personality kind of guy.
Right.
Frank Thomas, not so much when he was playing.
But later, after retirement, Frank opened up
big
quite
time.
A bit. Yeah, isn't that interesting? You would have almost thought that he would have had that during his playing days, but he didn't seem
to,
really.
He was focused too much on the game, I think.
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's the team that I love, the Don't Stop Believin', the, mm-hmm. when they were... That was just... You knew names, you knew numbers.
Right.
And we need that again.
All right, let me throw one of my favorite guys at you. White Sox or White Sox. See if you remember Chris Knapp.
Yes, I do.
What do you remember about him?
I don't know much.
Right,
I know the name.
Pitcher. He was a starting pitcher for the White Sox, and they called him the professor because he looked like a college professor.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Do you remember the nickname of Harold Perry? What was his nickname?
The Milkman.
The Milkman.
I liked him as well.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He was called that because there was a Guernsey cow that would sit next to him at third base, and he, during an inning, if the ball wasn't being hit to him, he would just milk the cow.
Why was it the Milkman? I know that my husband, Jimmy Mack,
I don't
really
remember why.
Irritated the Milkman. Jim was at a game with, I think, our neighbor Jack.
Yeah.
And they were sitting in, it was the, I think it was right by third base.
Yeah.
Front or second row, and there were tarps rolled up.
Yeah.
In case, you know, it rains, you'd pull those out.
Yeah.
And this was almost a foul ball, and Jim, I happened to be watching at home that day, and Jim kind of reached out and kind of may have fallen a little on the tarp.
What? He did?
To try and get the foul ball.
Jim is the Bartman of the White Sox.
A little bit,
but it
didn't stop. It wasn't interference or anything, because the Milkman couldn't have gotten, he couldn't have crawled on the tarp to get it, but he gave Jim a look like, what the hell are you doing, loser?
But he did?
He did. Jim loves that moment because Perry gave him a look like...
Was that recorded? Do you guys have that on tape?
I don't know if we still have it. I bet Jim does somewhere. I bet he does.
Wow.
He was almost proud of himself.
All right, let's go. I'll do another White Sox nickname. See if you can tell me the nickname.
You're going to say both White Sox, White Sox.
Yeah, I'm going to say both. Lance Johnson. What was his nickname? First, do you remember Lance Johnson at all? Lance Johnson was a center fielder, very, very fast. Very fast. So what was his
Speedy.
Nickname? No, it was not Speedy. You can do this. There's an animal's name involved.
Roadrunner.
No, it was not the Roadrunner. I think Ralph Garr was the Roadrunner, I think.
Who comes up with these stupid baseball nicknames?
Well, once I tell you what his nickname is, I will explain the origin or try to. Lance Johnson was known as One Dog, and I think it's because back then, Ken Harrelson would just say anything, you know, he'd go, good catch, pickup stick, and even if your name wasn't even close to pickup stick, nice ride, carousel horse, and you go, well, that's my new nickname is carousel horse, just because he said it, he would just
God.
He would just take a word from, you know, anywhere, oh, what a play by Umbrella Stand, and then your name was always Umbrella Stand.
Mercy.
Mercy.
He's Hawk. He was good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No longer.
I'm trying to think of what other nicknames I can give you. I gave you my favorite one downstairs yesterday, and that is Walt Williams, the former outfielder for the White Sox. His nickname was No Neck because the man did not have a neck.
He had a neck. I looked.
I don't think so.
Like a little neck clam.
Yeah. That should have been his nickname. What a catch by a little neck clam out in right field. Mercy. I always liked when Ken Harrelson would tell you a story, and then he would talk about, he would always say, he would always qualify his story by using the phrase at the major league level. Like he'd go, I'll tell you something, Wendy, that Andy Etchebarren has the handsomest mustache I've seen in baseball at the major league level. He would always throw in that.
Why haven't they called you to fill in for
Ken Harrelson?
Yeah.
I could probably fill in for him, Wendy, but not at the major league level. He would
My
always
God,
throw
you
that,
sound just like
that
him,
was
yes.
always a little bonus, no matter what the story was. He'd be telling you a story about somebody, you know.
And he is the one who invented the golf glove. We went through this before.
I didn't think I believed you about this, but we did some research, and Ken Harrelson did. He invented the golf glove. Until then, people didn't have anything, and their hands would get all scraped up.
Right, and he was had a batting glove on and had a bad blister
right.
and decided to wear the glove while golfing.
Yeah. Worst blister any ballplayer's ever had, Wendy, at the major league level.
I am not getting any signal here, so I can't look anything up.
Oh.
So everything is based on...
It's all hearsay.
Yeah,
the way,
you know I could be wrong.
This is the way the show should
no.
be. There should be no fact checking.
No.
It ruins everything.
You know what I was thinking of, Bill, is we are going to be out at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Yes.
And we are going to be doing the stream there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So should we maybe do something here?
Do you know where I'm going? Do you want to give some tickets away? I'd be up for that. If you want to do that, let's do that.
Yeah, we are going to be at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's located on State Street. They don't let us out of the studio very frequently, but Wednesday, February 28th, we're going to do the first part of our show, 10 to noon on 720 a.m., over there, and then we're going to stay to do the streaming bonus hour from noon to 1.
That's never been done live.
No, we really haven't.
We've never had the chance in the past. This will be the first time.
You still sounded like Hawk.
At the major league level. We've done it at AAA ball and at second at AA ball, but never at the major league level. Mercy.
Oh, I guess we did the tree time stream, the stream time.
I think I left early.
No,
I don't think I did. I stayed for that. I think I vamoosed.
No, you were there.
All right.
I forgot about that. We were at Tree Time Creations.
Mm-hmm.
But I really am dying to see the Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit. It's been there for a while. It's going to be there this whole year. Listeners, you have to get out to see it. I know I say that because I haven't been yet, but I knew we were going to be there, so I thought I'd wait.
Save it for that day. Good idea.
I've heard John Williams was out there. There's a priceless picture of Steve Bertrand at the Weekend Update desk, and Violetta is a video, and Violetta Podramedic pulls up right next to him, and he looks annoyed, like, get out of my scene.
That's our Steve.
Yes. So there's the couch from Wayne's World. There's various artifacts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to give away some tickets?
Please. Here's the number. We're at 312-235-2525. Yes, I had to turn to look. 312-235-2525. Caller number 10. If you're caller number 10 at that number, 312-235-2525, you will get a pair of tickets to see us at the Museum of Broadcast History.
How about caller number 12 as well? So
oh,
two pairs.
Very
Can we do
generous.
It?
Yeah.
Is that all right with you, Jazz? I know it's more work for you. But the 10th and 12th caller, there's a little bit of a delay when we speak and then when it gets out onto the stream.
Yeah.
So callers 10 and 12 at 313.
Mercy.
That's the worst
sentence I've ever heard at the major league level.
Not major league.
Wimpy?
It sounded like Wimpy. Tom Pachorek.
I miss him.
I do too. I love talking Wimpy.
He still filled in a couple times last year and the year before. They bring him back to fill in every once in a while.
312-235-2525. We need to take a quick break. Jasmine will get those numbers. 10th and 12th callers, you'll join us at the Museum of Broadcast Communications for Saturday Night Live, The Experience, on Wednesday, February 28th. Back with Judy and her news next.
The Midwestern.
You got me thinking, Jude. I know you have to go because Doma Tipongo's in the newsroom alone.
He gets scared.
You guys say
whenever he's in there by himself, he gets a little scared.
Well, he was a little bit scared today, but
But if the Blackhawks don't win tonight, from now on, every time there's a game, instead of watching the Blackhawks do the face-off, I'm going to watch the movie Face-Off in place of the Blackhawks game.
That's
if they don't win tonight. And I have a feeling they're going to win tonight. They're going to break their losing streak.
They need to win. They will win.
And they know that. I hate when people, come on, win. You don't think they want to win?
Right. Right.
No one wants it more than
We're
them.
We're freaking out because they don't lose.
Right.
You know, I
yeah, they've been losing a lot.
Yes. And it's we're not used to that. Yeah. We're so not used to that with our Hawks.
It must destroy the guys who have been there for years, the last, you know, the names are obvious, but they must destroy them.
Then they better start playing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, the youngins are doing the scoring.
Right. Right. The
that cat. My boy, Hinostroza.
Yeah.
I went to school with his dad.
Did you really?
I did. I went to grammar school with his dad, Ricky Hinostroza.
Oh, hi, that's
Ricky.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm sure they listen.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so I went to a very small school in Chicago. So don't think I won't be searching him out soon.
to get tickets. I know you.
You know how guys are.
We were friendly. We were good friends.
Did he ever come up and go, oh, I'll probably have a kid one day who plays for the Hawks?
No, never in a million years would you have thought that. Hmm. It's how hilarious that is.
That's, you know, that is the benefit of Facebook, really, is people that you went to grammar school with and now you see their kids and you're like, oh my God, that looks like a mini them. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it is. There's actually a Facebook group, Bucktown, because that's where I grew up, Bucktown.
Yeah.
We called it, you know, well, they call it Bucktown now. That's true.
They didn't call it Bucktown then, though.
No, we did not.
What was it called?
What was it referred to
as? It was called Chicago.
Oh.
Well, I know.
No, where are you from? Chicago.
Everybody?
You said the parish. Where are you from? Yeah. St. Hedwig's.
Yeah.
Really?
St. Edward. Oh, yeah.
And when did Bucktown become the description for it?
Yeah, we all knew it was Bucktown.
Yeah.
I mean,
refused to say it.
Because it's where the Bucks once roamed. Get it? The
yep.
goats. They're
yep.
Polish.
Yep.
Bucks are deer, aren't they?
Now they are. But
no, they refer to goats as bucks.
Goats are also
bucks. I've never heard a goat called a buck.
It's probably a male.
Oh.
Goat.
All right.
Buck, a deer, me? A male, deer.
Didn't Buck Owens also grow up there?
Yeah,
Judy?
Someone named Buck named the town.
Bucky Dent.
Bucky Dent was from there.
But, you know, it's funny because we really stayed in our little area, too. You didn't venture out.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't go to Wicker Park right next door.
Oh.
Or Humble Park.
Really?
Yeah, you pretty much stayed in your little area, your little...
But Wicker Park was called Wicker Park then, but Bucktown was not called Bucktown. Am I understanding this right?
No,
am I following
Wicker
this?
Park, no. No, it wasn't called
Nothing
that
was. Nope. Everything was just Chicago.
Now, Humble Park, we did call it Humble Park because it was actually a park.
Oh.
Humble Park, and we used to go ice skating there. So
growing up in Brookfield, we just thought Chicago was the loop. We didn't know that, like,
there were areas.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Harlem and Archer, there's like the southwest side of Chicago.
Right.
And I, like, when I got, we had my driver's permit, my sister took me driving there, and I got in an accident with my permit the first time driving.
Oh.
And when I called the police, I had to go up to a neighbor's house. She said, here's how you do it. She told me how to do it. And they said, where are you? And I'm like, I don't know. And then my sister's like, you're in Chicago. And I'm like, I'm not in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So we suburbanites thought Chicago was just where the downtown loop was.
That is hilarious. And you were older. I mean, it wasn't
I
was 16.
And you still thought that? That's crazy.
Come on, I grew up in Brookfield, for God's sakes.
I know. I'm sure it wasn't just you. It was like all the suburbanites. And what's funny about that, we never went downtown.
You didn't?
No. Why would we? There was nothing here.
Oh.
There was absolutely nothing. You would never go downtown after 5.
Interesting.
To the loop?
Yeah.
No, we went to the lake. That was a big deal. We always went to the lake, but we would never come down. Everything, there was nothing here. At 5 o'clock, all the businesses
shut
closed.
Down.
When did it start getting built up?
I think
late 80s.
I gotta give Daly a lot of credit for really making it great.
Yeah,
the younger Daly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know. Yeah,
probably late 80s.
Yeah, you're right.
When was the Sears Tower built?
No,
that was that was a business. Earlier.
I guess.
People worked down here, but they left. Nobody lived down here. Nobody. There were no restaurants. There was nothing.
Really?
No bars.
Italian Village.
Okay,
they were open.
Italian Village and maybe
one or two others.
The one downstairs.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, what's the German Berghoff was there?
Yeah,
I mean, but those
there was a scale. For a city this size, it was embarrassing.
And
how
maybe
few
they
things.
Were. I bet you they were only open for lunch.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, that is so fascinating.
Yes.
We should interview Judy, the history.
Judy,
of
can
Chicago.
You come on as a guest sometime and tell
maybe
us?
Maybe your friend you hit on earlier can reinvent me.
Oh, all right.
You don't need reinventing.
We'll do that now. Much like you, my friends who grew up in Oak Forest, if somebody lived in Chicago, anywhere in Chicago. We would all say downtown, like Chicago and downtown were one and the same.
That's, I guess, what I should have said.
Yeah,
right.
Not just the loop, but downtown.
Oh, that's so funny. And we never said downtown.
Oh, yeah. We just assumed that they were synonymous.
Well, you like the Petula Clark song, too, downtown.
Downtown. We would sing that as
kids. And isn't it funny, even now, I was in Greece, people are like, where are you from? Chicago.
Yeah, well,
I don't live in Chicago anymore, but
you still say Chicago because that's
because people won't know if you say
if I say LaGrange, they're gonna go what?
Yeah.
That's how
when I grew up in Brookfield, I could say Brookfield because the zoo was so well known. It's like the third largest zoo in the country, in the world.
Hilarious though about that. I never knew there was a place called Brookfield.
You only knew Lincoln Park?
It was Brookfield Zoo.
Oh.
No, I didn't know there was a town that was called Brookfield. No, it was just the zoo.
Really?
I worked there. It was great.
That one. We always went to Lincoln Park.
Because it was easier for
Chicagoans
you.
Chicagoans didn't go out there. That was a day.
I never went to Lincoln Park, so there.
Oh, it's better. A lot better.
No, it is so nice.
You know what?
Brookfield's
not
way bigger.
But they're both the same in terms of greatness. I mean, Lincoln Park Zoo is a great
zoo. It's a great zoo, but it's very small.
Yes, but cool in the middle
in the middle of
You'll never win Wendy over on this because she's a former employee of that zoo.
Brookfield.
And she went there once when I was young. Ish.
Do they ever trade animals like the Cubs and Sox every once in a while?
Yeah, they're out on breeding loans.
They are?
They are, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Why, are you going to rent yourself out for breeding loans somewhere?
I've considered it. I've looked into it.
Kieran Knightley looking
for a lot of work.
It's worth it. I don't care. It's just fun on a weekend if I've got nothing going on.
And then they send you back. Yeah. They pay for your airfare.
Back by Monday morning. It's easy, Jude.
Gosh.
Where's Bill? He's out on a breeding loan.
Right. Really?
He's one of our best performers.
Yeah. He's had a good year. He's had a banner year. We're very proud of the work he's done.
He's a former stand-up now. He's a laydown.
Yeah. Stud services only.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Toot your own horn, won't you? All right, I thought you had to go.
Turkle. I got to go. Bye.
I just got a text from Domity. He's scared.
You're the new Studs Turkle.
I'm the new Studs Turkle. Why is that funny? Thanks, Jude. Are you coming back tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, Judy will be back tomorrow, everybody. Don't you panic. Don't you panic.
She actually has work to do, unlike us.
Wendy, did you? Yes. So true. Did you see the story? This took place in Colorado. You have a teacher who's in trouble because she was forcing kids in her class to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. She was getting very physical with them, by the way. Do you know this?
No.
A Colorado teacher has been charged with child abuse and third-degree assault after allegedly assaulting a student because they would not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Karen Smith, who's been employed at the Boulder Valley School District for 20 years as a physical education teacher, was placed on paid leave. The best kind of leave, by the way.
Yeah.
On February the 1st.
Wish we'd get that.
Paid leave. After she was accused of forcibly lifting a student to his feet by his jacket when he refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
You can't do that these days. You can't. I mean, I understand
you can't
her point.
Force him, or you can't.
You can't grab a student.
No, you cannot.
And I get her point. I think everybody should show respect and stand your ass up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I think her only option would be to send him down to the principal.
Yeah, you certainly can't do physical harm to a kid. That's not going to play.
And think about it. If that was your kid, wouldn't you be at the school that afternoon and go, I got a little something to talk about with that gym teacher.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
You touched my kid?
Did you have, when you went to school, do you remember any incidents of there being anything physical between teachers and students? Because I remember a bunch.
You went to a Catholic school, although not in high school. You're talking high school?
I remember most of them in grade school. I'm trying to remember if anything happened in high school.
No one ever did anything. Because they knew they'd get suspended.
Right.
You, like, touched, if a teacher, and I will say this, maybe there were coaches that would, like, push you back a little bit.
Yeah, we had a bunch of coaches
or
who do that.
The finger point on your sternum, which really hurts when they keep going.
Right.
And that, I'm not saying was right, but a kid would not, like, go, don't touch me. A
right.
kid would just suck it up.
Yes.
And
yes.
probably wouldn't even go home and tell their parents because that was just what we did.
Didn't you find that by the time you got to high school, a teacher that wanted to humiliate a kid wouldn't do it physically, he would do it verbally.
And emotionally.
I remember a couple of incidents like that. But I do remember several cases. I remember a punching fight between an eighth grade teacher and a student where they were punching each
Get
other.
Get out of here.
That got nuts.
What did you do? Weren't you so uncomfortable?
Yeah.
I would have been the girl running down the hall to get another teacher.
Right.
But
this guy was, he was the teacher that anybody would have got if there was a physical altercation. He was the guy that you'd go for. And I don't even remember what started it. I remember the kid and I remember the teacher. And the kid was a jerky kid, you know? I don't know who was at fault.
You're not defending him, but...
but it was weird to see a 13 or a 14-year-old boy and a grown man punching each other. That was very disconcerting. And then there was another, there was a kid who was a problematic kid all through his school career, and he just went nuts in class one day, and the teacher had had enough, and she picked him up and was trying to remove him, and he got very physical. And
this was a woman teacher?
It was a nun. Yeah.
They could handle themselves, it seems.
A lot of the nuns were they were the ones you did not want to mess with.
And you mentioned this, like, Jimmy Mack went to 12 years of Catholic schools, and he tells me stories that I still find hard to believe.
Well, that stereotype of the angry nun, I have to be honest with you, I lived it. I mean, there were just some nuns in there. I'm not saying it's all of them, because I also had some very nice nuns. But there were some that you just would not cross, because they would bend you. They would just end you. They were just nuts.
I never saw any of that, especially in junior high. I will admit that I was snippy and had to go down to the office sometimes because I would talk back.
Uh-huh. I'm not surprised.
But I tried not to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would stick up for myself or other students who were wrongly accused
of
something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I had to sit in the quiet chair a lot because I would talk.
We called that the Wendy Snyder chair at our school. I had to sit in the Wendy chair. Really? You were that bad? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I honestly, yeah, but I never would get into an altercation.
There was never a time where you thought punching the teacher
was the best. None of us did. We knew that that would be the end of our career at that school.
So many times, because as I read the story this morning, I thought to myself, I remember there were kids that would try to cause trouble every once in a while just to get some attention. But if a teacher said, here's the rule in this class, you stand during this, I don't remember too many kids that would have just fought them on it. They would just go, okay, if that's the rule, I guess I have to do
it. There were a couple of kids that would probably fight this.
Really?
Yeah. But the teacher would never, like, grab the kid. I think she'd, you know, call down to the office.
Right.
And maybe have the principal come and escort them out.
Yeah. Or say, let's have one of your parents come in and we'll discuss this, you know. You get a pass today. Remain seated if you're comfortable, but we'll have this solved by tomorrow. You know?
You can't grab a kid. I don't care if it's by their jacket or you can't do it.
So she was accused of lifting a student to his feet by his jacket when he refused to stand for the pledge. The student, who has not been named because he's a minor, was then removed from the classroom by Smith. On Wednesday, the Boulder County District Attorney's Office announced that formal charges were levied against Smith. That's the teacher, Karen Smith. Principal Mike Medina sent a letter to the student's parents to update them on the investigation. I again want to reaffirm that our focus remains firmly on our students, Medina said in the letter. Both of Smith's charges are misdemeanors. She was released Wednesday with a summons following her processing. A 1943 Supreme Court decision ruled that students cannot be compelled to salute or stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, citing that the First Amendment free speech clause is involved.
But you know what? There are rules in school. I know you don't have to. How old? This is a high school kid?
This, let me see if they give the age.
I think you said at a high school.
No, it's Boulder Valley School District. It doesn't say.
Because
it doesn't say how old the kid was or what year he's in.
That's what I don't like about, you know, this day and age where, and I'm guilty of it too, I don't shield my kids from things. They know what's in the news. They know about taking a knee.
Right.
You can't shield kids from that. It's all over the place.
Right.
So is this a kid who himself makes up this decision and goes, screw that, I'm not happy with this country? Or is he just trying to make trouble?
I'm just guessing, but it seems like he has seen one or two of his favorite athletes do it. And he goes, my belief system is similar to Kaepernick's or whoever else was taking a knee. And if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. So I'm going to do the same.
Like a copycat thing.
Right. He didn't. Yeah. That's probably what went down. I'm not 100% sure, but that seems right. And I'm positive that across America in the last year or so, as this has happened, other kids have said, yeah, I believe there's too much of this and not enough of that. So I'm also protesting it. And we've talked about this. The protest has changed. It was originally because of violence against African Americans.
Right.
It became something totally different. You know, and how many, we talked about this when it first happened, people in the military who everybody said, this is very disrespectful toward people in the military. And so many people in the military go, oh, no, no.
They'd call us.
Do what you want.
And say, we fought for your right to protest.
Right. Yeah. So it's tricky. There's no real way to solve it.
Yeah, but I just feel like you don't have a right to protest unless you truly believe in what you're protesting. And I think a lot of times it's not, your heart doesn't hurt enough. It's just you're doing it to
be
a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't think you have a right.
So if you're the teacher, my guess is that she'll countersue because does it say if she's been fired or just...
No, she said suspended with pay, remember?
All right, suspended with pay.
The school will pay this family off and then he'll go to a new district.
So?
And because she really, you know...
I wonder.
She might get to lose her job. I don't know, but...
I wonder. Do you think she deserves to lose her job because of this?
You
I don't know if she does.
Can't touch another kid. You can't in this day and age. I mean, you know what? You know me. I cannot ignore bad behavior because whenever you act up, I spank you.
Yep. And I know it's coming. I go, do you need me to go to the spanking corner? And everybody goes, go to the spanking corner.
All right, whatever. But you got to, at some point as a teacher, ignore the one person that's doing it.
Right.
And then tell the principal later, you know, there's this kid that is giving me a problem. Maybe you should talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the only way to do it. You can't touch a kid.
I just wonder if other kids came to his defense or if that was one of those things where they just pulled out their phones and videotaped it.
That's what I do.
I didn't see any.
I didn't either.
It's really strange because normally a story like this is accompanied by several cell phone accounts of it where you go, oh, that's what went down. Not this time for some weird reason. I don't know what happened. Nobody videotaped it. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break, and then Adam Hoge will come in. He's got Sports Central that's coming up next. We'll find out what Adam has. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.